Remain standing this morning with our Bibles open to the book of Ephesians, please. Ephesians. In the Word of God and chapter number 3 this morning. Ephesians and chapter number 3. I think I can find it here in just a moment. Ephesians and chapter number 3 in the Word of God. I want to begin reading this morning, Lord helping me, in verse number 13. Read down through verse number 21, and then bring a message out of verse number 19. The Bible says in verse 13, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not." By the way, this is a prayer. Paul is praying as he writes this portion of this epistle. It is a prayer for the church at Ephesus. And he said, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the Spirit, be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that it might be filled with all, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we might ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." And then dear brother Paul said, "Amen." It's true. I believe that. I agree with that. He said, "Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God before us. Thank you for the Sunday school hour, the good song service. Thank you, Lord, for your divine presence in your people. I pray that you're blessed now, save sinners, get glory to yourself, and help us with liberty and power. And Lord, help every family that's here today, those that are sick we mentioned. I pray you'll touch and bless them. Families today need comfort and help. I pray you'll comfort their hearts with the goodness and the love and the mercy of God. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do. You're worthy of it. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to call our attention again this morning as I read verse number 19, where Paul made this statement as he writes to the church at Ephesus. And he says, "And to know the love of Christ." Again, he's praying for these people, and his prayer to them is that they might know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. That ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. And so knowing this great love of God that passeth knowledge, it will fill us with all the goodness of God. Now, I want to preach a little while this morning on that first thought out of that verse 19, where he talks about a love, the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, and preach for a little while on that thought. God's love that passeth knowledge. Now, if we just took a casual glance at this verse, we might believe that it contradicts itself. For the text says that we can know a love that passeth knowledge. But the word "passeth" there simply means to go beyond. It does not mean a love that will give you and I or pass knowledge on to you and I in any way. But it is speaking of a love that passes our knowledge. In other words, it goes beyond the knowledge that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it simply means to go beyond. So the love that God has for us as His children goes beyond all knowledge. And if we listen to every song that has ever been sang about the love of God, or every song that has ever been written on the subject of the love of God, and heard every message that's ever been preached on the love of God, and then we'd still have to confess to ourselves that the half has never yet been told, because His love passeth knowledge. Now, that's difficult to understand. That's why I said it sounds like it contradicts itself. Paul said he wants us to know that love, but he said that love that he's referring to passeth knowledge, that it goes totally beyond our knowledge. And yet, Paul's prayer is that for you and I, that we might not only know, but that we might comprehend the breadth of God's love that spans all eternity past. Now, that's a deep subject. When you get to thinking about the love of God and the fact that it spans all eternity past, that's a long time, ladies and gentlemen. God loved you and I before the foundation of the world. And that's right. In fact, God has always loved us. Even you can't say even before there was a God, because there never was a time that God wasn't. And so God has always loved us. And the breadth of His love spans all the eternity past, and its length reaches beyond eternity in the future. And so this love that passes knowledge reaches all the way back into eternity's past and goes all the way into eternity in the future. Right. And that's a wonderful love. And Paul said that he wants us to know the love of God that passes knowledge. That's a deep subject, is it not? And the depth of His love, not only the breadth and the length, but the depth of His love. I believe that depth reaches from all the way from heaven to earth and has the power to lift fallen man from his total depravity and grant him birth into the family of God. Isn't that wonderful to know that there is a love that is so high and wonderful and marvelous and glorious that it reaches to eternity's past? It reaches to eternity's future. It came all the way from heaven down to this earth and lifted fallen man, fallen humanity from the depths of their depravity and sin, and birthed them into the family of God and made them God's child. It reaches to the earth and reaches blind sinners that they might be saved by the grace of God. And then its height, the height of the love of God. What about the height of the love of God? I believe that height is referring to the fact that that love will carry you and I to a height that we have never been before. I believe that height is in the heavens itself. I'm talking about a place beyond what we see where airplanes fly. I'm talking about a height beyond what we see where the moon and the stars and the sun shines in the sky. There is a place far beyond that. There's an eternal throne of glory that's situated there. And that love of God radiates from that throne to time, to beyond the past and the future, beyond the future. And it reaches down to the depths of the earth and then lifts you and I by the grace of God back into heaven, that we might be saved by the grace of God and carried into the presence of Almighty God. Now, Christ suffered. I want you to listen to this word I'm getting ready to say. Christ suffered beyond death. And somebody said, "Preacher, how can that be?" Because He was God. Amen. He didn't die a normal death. He died with the sins of the world upon His soul. Now, I'm going to tell you, that goes beyond death. You and I will never, in this physical body, when we die, we'll never experience a death like Christ did. Because in His own body, He bore our sins on the tree. So that love, that death, had to go beyond. It had to go beyond death itself that Christ gave for you and I. Christ suffered beyond death that we might know a love that is beyond knowledge. That's right. He extinguished the fire of hell and conquered the grave, that every sinner that will humble themselves and humble their heart might be saved by the grace of God. I want to say that one more time. God will save every sinner that will humble themselves and believe on the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
Brother Steve taught a good Sunday school lesson this morning on the pool of Bethesda. He made a statement. He said there was a multitude of impotent folk at that pool. But said Christ only came to that one man been there for 38 years. He said, I really don't know why he went to that one man. Well, I told the Sunday school class there's only one explanation for that. There's two combinations to salvation, grace and faith.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith. And there's no question about it that grace was available.
Amen.
When Christ walked into that place, grace was available Amen. To every sinner that was there. And folks, when Christ walks into the house of God, that grace is available to every sinner that is there. I don't care who they are. It's made available to them. There's only one thing that will keep them from being saved, and that is believing on the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
The Bible is clear. He that believeth on the Son hath life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So I said, why don't people get saved then? They don't believe. It's as simple as that. They don't have the faith. It's as simple as that. And it's not hard to believe. I mean, it's easier for me to believe on Christ and creation than it is to believe on their theory of evolution. I mean, it's just that simple. Somebody said, well, it's a hard story for me to believe that God actually was made flesh and came to this earth, dwelt among men. Amen. And those that received Him, to them gave me the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. It's not hard for me to believe that. You know why? I have believed that. Not only have I believed that, I've experienced that. And I know about that love that has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost that was given unto me when Christ died on Calvary. I'm simply saying that there is a love that passes knowledge, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you something. I said, I know all about the love of God. You're a liar. I don't know anybody that knows all about it. I've been preaching for a while, and I've not learned all about it yet. And I don't know anybody that does. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. What Paul is saying is it passes our knowledge. It is beyond our knowledge. How true that is. Yes, sir. Somebody said, well, we can't know it. We can know God's love. But he's not just talking about knowing God's love. He said, and to know the love of God, he didn't stop there. If he had said to know the love of God, I can understand that. But he said to know the love of God, that passeth knowledge. He went on and said, he added a little bit more to it. Oh, I'm telling you. Paul said, I want you to reach back, look back into the future and get a hold of God's love for you back then. And I want you to look, I'm in the past, and I want you to look out into the future and get a look at God's love for you in the future. And I want you to look up toward heaven and get a love and to get a knowledge of the love of God for you in heaven. I'm telling you, there's a love, ladies and gentlemen, that is beyond the knowledge of man. And Paul said he wants us in somehow, some way, to comprehend that wonderful love. You know, if you preach on love today, if you preach on love, they some people think you're a compromiser. And they some folks, preachers that won't preach on certain verses in the Bible because they don't think they're a deep enough subject there to preach on. You know, we've got these theologues that they really want to get deep in the Bible. Well, I want you to try to get deeper in John 3:16.
Amen.
Amen. If you can get any deeper in John 3:16, for God, what? So loved the world that He done what? Gave His only begotten Son that what? Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
I'll never forget years ago, I heard Dr. Harold Sattler preach it. And he made this statement. He said, God spoke to him on Friday and said, Harold, said on Sunday morning, John 3:16. Said he made the statement back to the Lord. He said, Lord, said, I've preached on that verse so much. Said, let some of the younger men preach on that. Said, I'm an old man. Let some of the younger men preach on that verse. Give me something that's a little deeper than that to give to my people.
Amen.
Said the Saturday morning, said the Holy Ghost, said, Harold, it's Sunday morning, John 3:16. And he made the same statement. Sunday morning rolled around, said the Holy Ghost, when he was reading and studying, getting ready to preach, said the Holy Ghost, said, Harold, I said John 3:16. So he said, "All right, Lord, you win. You win." And he said he got up, opened his Bible, and began to preach on John 3:16. And that love that passeth knowledge, that love that goes beyond our comprehending, that love that is so wonderful, mighty, glorious, and true, it seemed that it fell all the way from heaven's portals and fell upon that place where they were all assembled, filled the hearts of every believer. And that love brought a joy and a blessing that they hadn't experienced in a long time. Now, I'm going to tell you, when that love that Paul is talking about falls upon you and I, it does exactly what Paul says here. It fills us with all the goodness of God. Can you get a hold of that? To know a love that will fill us with all the goodness of God. Hey, He is a good God. And to be filled with that, hey, to be filled with all the goodness of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say that's a whole lot to be full of. I don't see how we keep from breaking out on us just a little bit if we really believe that way.
Amen.
Amen. If we really know if God's love has filled us in such a way, I don't see how it keeps from breaking out on us somewhere along the line.
Amen.
I think it should, don't you? Sure it should. God have mercy on us. We sit in the house of God like zombies. Like frozen statues. I hope that God wouldn't get beyond that.
Amen.
Hey, God help us, Brother Troy. I'm doing it. Do you know a love of God? The Bible said that the love of God was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost that was given unto us. Said that in the book of Ephesians. I want to ask you if we can get a hold of that.
Amen.
To know that love that passeth knowledge. John 3:16 would be a pretty good verse to preach on. Might have everlasting life. What about Romans 5:18? But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Okay, hey, now I'm going to go back to this a little bit, but you get a hold of that word commendeth. But God commendeth His love toward us. That word commendeth, if I can without doing any damage to the King James, and I'm not doing any damage to the King James, but commendeth literally means to introduce.
Right.
When you commend somebody to something, you're introducing them. That is, I could take brother Andy here, and I could commend him to the president. I'd be introducing him to the president, if I can put it that way. Hey, I'm sorry about that, Brother Andy. Anyway. But God's love commended us is simply an introduction of God's love. Now, if you can get a hold of that, what He's saying is that when Christ died on Calvary, all that was an introduction to the love of God. I don't know about you, but when I went to school, I believe that there was a part of a letter that you write that is called the introduction. It's not the full body of the letter. It's just the beginning of it, or an introduction in a book. It's not the whole book. It's just the beginning of it. Now, I'm telling you, when we look at Romans 5:8, when God commendeth His love toward us, the cross is not all the love. That's just an introduction of God's love. Friend, I'm telling you, if we get a hold of the fact that He died on the cross and just commended His love, introduced His love, then how great is that love for you and I? It passes knowledge.
That's right.
Yes. Amen. Yes. What a love. Hallelujah. I like it. I don't know about you.
Amen.
What about Ephesians 2?
Yes, sir.
Verses 4 and 5. I got to get this out from under my feet. What about Ephesians 2, 4 and 5? But God, who is rich in mercy, for what? For His great love. Not just love. But His great love, wherewith He loved us, with what? With a great love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. But here it's called a great love. But wherein God, but God who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were yet dead in sins, hath he quickened us together by Christ. By grace you're saved. Oh, I think about that love that he speaks of there. Being a great love. It's not just something that's normal. It goes beyond normality. It goes beyond human experience. It goes beyond the understanding of man. And it proceeds from the heart of God. No wonder the Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart. He had enough sense to realize that seated deep in the depths of the heart of God was his love. Now I'm telling you, it was that love that David was looking for from God. And ladies and gentlemen, it ought to be God's love that we're looking for today. Oh, we preach on the wrath of God, and there's nothing wrong with that, because I'm telling you, some people are going to experience the wrath of God. But I'd rather preach on the love of God. Amen. I'm telling you, it's not the wrath of God that's going to save a man. He's going to condemn man to wrath. But it's by the love of God he's going to save a man. God loved and gave, and by giving, God saved you and I. What a wonderful love. Hallelujah. I'd much rather preach on that love, wouldn't you? You think your children would rather hear you tell them you love them or you hate them? Let me change that. Let me rephrase. Do you think your children would rather hear you set them on your lap and say, honey, I love you? Or do you think they'd rather hear you grab them by the arm and say, I'm going to whelp the devil out of you? They're going to want to hear you say, I love you. And that's all that David wanted. I'm going to tell you what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, God's like a hickory nut. He said, most people are chewing around on the hull. And they're satisfied with just gnawing around on the outside of that hickory nut. But he said, oh, if they could ever get a hold of the fact that on the inside is a kernel with great flavor and taste. Such a blessing. And I'm here to tell you, folks, most of us today are nibbling around on the hull. And don't stop to realize that on the inside there is a kernel of love that has wonderful flavor and taste for you and I. Oh, taste of the Lord and see that He's good. Taste of His love and realize how wonderful it is. For God loved us and proved His love by dying on Calvary, suffering like no man ever suffered. Amen. That's right. Amen. Yielded Himself into the hands of an angry mob and was mocked and ridiculed and spat upon and beaten and crowned with a crown of thorns and laid Himself down upon a cross after He'd been beaten with 40 stripes and died there on Calvary that you and I might be saved. I'm telling you, there's a love that passes knowledge. It goes beyond anything that we've ever comprehended and got a hold of. But Paul says, if you'll pray and seek the face of God, I believe you can understand that love just a little more than what you understand it right now. I believe we can.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's what I want. I don't know about you, but that's what Brother Hall wants.
Amen.
I want. And somebody said, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. How can you say too much about it, about love, when the Bible said God is love?
Amen. Amen.
Well, don't talk too much about love. Well, don't talk too much about God then.
Right.
Because God is love.
Amen.
You'll catch that by slow freight after a while. What about 1 John 4:10? Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us enough to send His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Divinely intervened. That simply means that He took our place and laid His life down where we ought to die. It ought to have been us that was crucified. But thank God He was crucified in our place. We should have died, but He died for us. God loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation that's well pleasing to God the Father. that satisfies God the Father. Hey, that is the atonement, ladies and gentlemen. He has loved us and atoned for our sins by His own precious blood. Because why? He loved us and laid His life down that way. Hallelujah. Y'all, I don't know if y'all mad at me or what this morning. Amen. What about, this love that passes knowledge. I'm just being honest with you. It can't be explained. I've been preaching Brother Joel for 33 years. And every time I finish a message, I still feel like I've failed in adequately telling you about the love of God. Oh, that I had a greater vocabulary than I do. And a greater understanding of the Bible than I have. That I knew Him in a greater way. That I might convey it to your heart this morning. That somehow that we might get that love and that's shed abroad in our heart and shed it abroad in the world. That others might hear and know and believe and escape the torments of hell through the very love of God. Can I tell you this morning, God loves you no more, no less ever. He just loves you. He can't love you anymore and He can't love you any less. He loves you. He loves me. Hallelujah. That's right. Now, that love, I'm going to, I feel inadequate telling it, but I can tell you this. I experienced it at the cross. When I humbled myself at the cross of Calvary. Look out yonder with me this morning, outside the city, on a hill called Golgotha, at a place of a skull, where the Son of God went bearing His own cross. And there on the Mount Calvary, as they walked by and mocked Him and told Him, if you be the Son of God, come down and we'll believe you. Or you said that you were the Son of God and that He loved you. And if God loved you, then come on down and we'll believe you. Go out to Mount Calvary and look into the face of the Son of God as the blood drips from His brow and across His face and down His body. And His recognition, He can't recognize who He is for the beating that He's taken in our place. You'll see love there. I'm telling you, will a man die for any men? I dare to say not. Some men, I can't quote the verse in I'm thinking about in Romans. Peradventure would some men dare to die, but God died for us. I read about that shooting out in that theater in Colorado. I read yesterday where it said a young man, and I don't know whether the boy died or whether he didn't die, but I read in there where it said a young man took a bullet for his girlfriend. And I thought, Lord, He must have had some kind of love for that woman if He was willing to take that bullet for her. He, what did He do? He divinely intervened. He got between her and the killer. That her life might be spared. Now, can you get a hold of that? Christ got between you and death. Amen. That we may not have to die. I'm telling you, the devil had his dart pointed in our way. But thank God, Jesus, our divine intercessor, step between us and death, and we might live by the grace of God. Because of His love. I won't say I experienced His love in the church. I've got a little taste of it here today, Brother Andy. Hallelujah. Nothing like being in the house of God. I want to say I experienced His love along the way in this journey, this course that I've taken. I've experienced His love in that. I can truly sing that old song, Brother Gray. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far. It'll be grace that'll lead me on. Oh, yes, I've experienced the troubles. I've experienced the trials. I've experienced the temptations. I've experienced all of those toils and labors that we all have. And I'm telling you, I've experienced through it all that wonderful love of God that passes knowledge. It passes knowledge. Sometimes I've gotten myself in such a shape, I've said within my own self, Lord, you'll just leave me here and let me die right now. Yeah. But He's lifted me up.
Yeah.
He's brought me out. I've gotten myself in a pickle a number of times. You know what that means, getting yourself in a pickle. Now I'm going to say He got me out. I've got myself in a jam between a rock and a hard spot. Brother Robert a number of times, but He's got me out. Amen. Through all those troubles, toils, and snares. Amen. Through family problems. We've all had family problems. We've all had church problems. We've all had our own personal difficulties and problems we faced in life. But I'm going to tell you through them all, it's been God's love. When He dipped His pen of love down in her heart. Oh, I love an old song. When God dipped the pen of His love in her heart. I wonder how deep that pen can go. It's not a question of how deep it can go. It can go all the way. The question is, how much of it can we comprehend this morning? That is a love that passes our knowledge. It's beyond us. It's beyond us, Brother Ricky. But Paul said that we might comprehend it. He wants us to understand it. Look to the past. Look to the future. Look up. Look down. Hey, all around. Hey, I'll tell you something. Ooh, I just learned it. No matter where you look, up, down, all around, you know what you see? God's love. Hallelujah. No matter where you look. It's there. And I'm going to tell you something else. That length and that breadth and that height and that depth might tell me too. You might look at it and study it and pray about it and look at it all you want to, but you'll never find the end of it. You know why you'll never find the end of it? It's like a ring. It's like a circle. Draw a circle and tell me where the end of it's at. You'll never find it. There is none. Now I'm going to tell you, hey, the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of the love of God, there's no end to it. You're looking forward, you want to look back, you'll never find the end of it back there. Look in front of you, you'll never find the end of it out there. Somebody says, oh, Brother Hall, we'll find it in heaven. I'm telling you, when we've been there 10 billion years, He'll just turn over another leaf. Things will start all over again. You're not going to look beyond it. You know, we talk about these little children sometimes. Little children's songs. We think that it's not for us adults. But I just happen to think of that little song, Brother Andy. Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Amen. And there is. How deep is it? I don't know. I never got to the bottom. I don't know any scuba diver ever got on that gear where you get to the bottom. I believe you get divers cramps before you got there. I've never known a man that could climb a mountain high enough. I believe he'd run out of air before he got there. Hey, man, that's how high and how deep it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's beyond us. I've experienced it at the cross and the church and along the course. I'm going to say, hey, it cannot be explained, but it can be experienced. It cannot be exaggerated, but it can be embraced. Do you think you can exaggerate the love of God? You know, men like to exaggerate on things, don't they? They like to brag and boast and make things sound bigger. I mean, you guys that go out fishing, that big one always gets away. And us guys that go out deer hunting, boy, we should have seen that I've seen up there on the hillside. Well, where's he at? Well, he's still out there, I reckon. Still out there. I'm going to say his rack was big enough that a 747 couldn't fly between those times of it. We like to exaggerate, don't we? But I'm going to tell you, you'll never exaggerate the love of God. You can't exaggerate on it. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can wrap the arms of your heart around the bosom of Christ and draw that love of God that passes knowledge into the depths of your soul and get a hold of it in such a way that it'll warm your heart and fill you full of the goodness of God. Amen. And put some joy in your heart. Not that you'll always be skipping a beat, but you'll have that joy even in times of trouble and trial. It's your strength that will carry you through. Are you listening to me? It's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And friend, I'm telling you, when you're full of the love of God, I'm telling you, you might have troubles and trials and problems, but I'm telling you, hey, you might not feel like singing. I'm telling you, there'll still be a song somewhere in your heart. You'll never get beyond it. It'll be there somewhere in your life. Just reach out. That love that can't be exaggerated upon. Just reach out and embrace it this morning. Draw it into your bosom. Tell God you love Him. Amen. Get a hold of it. I want to say too, it cannot be exhausted because God is love. But it can be enjoyed.
Amen.
I won't say again it can be enjoyed. Hallelujah. Don't get skipping. I'm down here too much. Might get carried away. Ain't you going to enjoy it? I know that I wasn't saved just because I was going to hell. I got saved because I was a sinner.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you what. It's like some of you folks, when you went to work, and the first thing you looked at was that paycheck you got.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need to look at some of them friends' benefits.
Right.
If you get any.
Yeah.
Some places don't pay too many. But some places do. Oh, they got retirement plans, 401ks, until the government got a hold of it.
Yeah.
But there's some fringe benefits. And I'm going to tell you one of the fringe benefits that we got when we got saved. God didn't say. We didn't get saved because we were going to hell. We got saved because we realized we were sinners and transgressed the law of God. But I'm telling you, escaping the fires of hell is just a benefit. It's just a benefit. Of being saved and knowing God's love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And what a benefit it is.
Amen.
I'm glad I don't have to go to hell, aren't you? I won't say that again. I'm glad. Since I don't have to go to hell, I know one time, Brother Shelby, I was going there lost and undone and was headed for the corridors of the damned, to the depths of hell. Oh, a merciful hand of love and grace reached down further than I could reach up. Hallelujah. And lifted me up by grace and set my feet on a solid rock. Set me in His way. Yes, sir. I won't say it's a drawing love. Bible says in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee, what? With an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Hey, can I define everlasting to you? You won't get mad at me, will you? Don't get mad. He said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. That word everlasting has with it the idea of being concealed. It has the idea of being a vanishing point. When you say everlasting, you start looking out, and there's only a certain point you can reach for you and I as little human beings, and that everlasting vanishes away. It's a vanishing point. But it don't end there! It goes on beyond that vanishing point. Yes, sir. May I say that it not only means a vanishing point concealed, but it means to be out of mind. To tell, hey, if it's beyond our mind, then it must pass all knowledge.
Yeah, that's right.
It must pass knowledge. In other words, hey, how can I say this? I don't care how much we learn. I don't care what kind of a degree you can put behind your name.
Right.
You can be a DD, LLD, MD, all MDs you want to be, like one preacher said. You can be an MD, Mersey Dotson, a DD, Dozy Dotson, LLD, Little Lambsey Divey. Amen. You can be all them little D's you want to be. You can have all the knowledge you want. And still the love of God passes that.
Amen. Right. Amen. Amen.
That's love, ain't it?
Yes,
it's a drawing love. With an ere, with an everlasting love. He has drawn us.
Yes,
loving kindness, He has drawn us. He drew me out. When I was in the pit, in Psalm 40, in verse 2, He drew me, talking about the drawing love. He drew me out of the pit. And when He drew me out, hey, I was in, but He drew me out. In the pit, but He drew me out. But get a hold of this. But He not only drew me out, but He drew me in. Somebody said, I thought you said you was in. I was in a pit, but I was far from God. I was out. So if I was out, He had to draw me in. And then, hey, and if I was in that pit, I was down, so He drew me up. So He drew me up when I was down. He drew me in when I was out. Amen. And He drew me out when I was in. Hallelujah. Can you get a hold of that this morning? That's love, ladies and gentlemen. That's marvelous love. Oh, we ought to sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody said, do you like to preach about it? There's a hound dog like a hound bone. Amen. Better believe it, friend.
Yes, sir.
Now, you've heard me tell this, and I'll just be short. But I'm going to tell you, death never separates real love. Love is strong as death, what the Bible said in Song of Solomon. Philip Bliss, the guy that sang that very song that Brother George sings, the last song we sang this morning. God loves even me. Philip Bliss wrote that song. And Philip Bliss, as a young man, died in a train wreck, a fiery train crash, with his wife pinned in that train and couldn't get out of it. And she begged him to leave. And he looked at her and said, sweetheart, said, I took an oath. And that Bible said, till death do us part. And he said, I'm not about to leave you now. The Bible said, till death do us part, and so shall we die together. And Philip Bliss loved his wife so much.
Amen.
But he sat in that train and let the fire that engulfed her body and burned her body burn his at the same time, but I'm about ready to run my head through a wall. Their bodies may have burned with fire, but they rose together and met the God and all of His love in the clouds of glory. They went up to where He was together. And I want to say this, that Christ sat in the fire with you and I. And there He died with you and I. Oh! When He got up, guess what? He brought us up with Him. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's His wonderful name.
Amen.
I'm talking about love. That passes, goes beyond knowledge. May I say also that that love is an unbroken love. When Christ puts a wedding band on us, He don't take it off.
Right.
It's an unending love. When He loved Him, it was in the world He loved Him. Loved His own. He loved Him to the end. It's an unselfish love. He gave Himself for us. It's not only a dying love, not only a drawing love, but it's also a devoted love.
Amen.
He will not divorce us, Brother Andy.
Right. Amen.
I don't care what the Armenians say.
Right.
He will not write a bill of divorcement.
Right.
Now, the law appeared at the courthouse, Mike. But God don't write at all a bill of divorcement to His children.
Amen.
Son, when He slipped the wedding band on your finger, you're in.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We was in there the other day talking about what the bride is and what made up the bride and the family and who was in this and who was in that. I said, I don't. They said, now what do you think, Brother Hall? I said, I don't really know. But I can tell you one thing, I'm in all of them. Somebody said, how do you know it? Because I know it. If being saved puts you in, I'm in.
Amen.
The church and the bride.
Amen.
If baptism puts you in the bride, I'm in the bride. Yeah.
Right.
I know I'm in them, Brother Foley.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He's not going to divorce us. I'm going to say something else. He's not going to disappoint us. Listen to what it said. Listen to what it said in 2 Timothy 3:10-11. He said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." Paul talking to Timothy. You've known my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering. Christ, and my patience, persecutions, afflictions, he said, which came unto me at Antioch and over at Iconium and Lystra. He said, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all. When I looked at the Greek, that word all meant all.
Amen. That's right.
Out of them all, God delivered me. Now, I want you this morning to think what I'm getting ready to lay on your shoulders, your heart. Anybody in here? Any one of you that's got a problem in life that you feel like God just can't deliver you from, will you please stand up and make a fool out of yourself? There are none. Paul said he delivered me out of all. A-double-L, all. My troubles. Somebody said, do you believe that, Brother Hall? Certainly I do. Sometimes he may have to deliver us from our troubles, Brother Troy, by just taking us on home to glory. Somebody said, now that'd be a bad way to go. Boy. Be a good one, Brother Troy. Go to hell. He's not going to disappoint you. He loves you too much to disappoint you. Oh, we'll disappoint him. He'll never disappoint us. And I'm going to tell you, when he said there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, he didn't say that your friend that sticketh closer than a brother as long as everything's running smooth. I think he meant when things get kind of rough. When things get difficult. When it seems like the water is over our head and our feet are on no longer on solid ground.
Right.
When it seems that your feet have nigh well slipped and there's no standing place. I want you to understand that there is the eternal rock of ages.
That's right. Amen.
That we can stand on this morning.
Amen.
Brother, he ain't going anywhere. He'll never be conquered. He'll never be overthrown. He'll never be defeated. He'll always be there. You may feel like all that's above water is your nose. But I'll tell you, he may let you go down so deep that all you can get is a little breath of air out of your nose. But I'm telling you, he'll bring you out of it.
Amen.
Y'all read about that man in Henderson this past week? Can you, how, by providence, how God works? Miss Hall read in the paper, there was this police officer sitting down on one of the piers, I believe it was, on Ohio, up in Henderson. He was getting off shift about 5 o'clock in the morning, and he was making out his nightly report. And he said he looked up and saw a car coming down the boat ramp. He said, just come right down the boat ramp, and right out in the river. And he said to himself quickly, he said, That didn't really happen. I'm seeing things. That car did not just drive off into that river. And he looked and he said he saw a man sitting in the seat, just sitting there. He said that car did just drive off into the river. No question, it did. And he said he jumped up, started taking his firearm off, and he said, that thing. He said about that time, two other police officers, just out of coincidence, you know, two other police officers come driving up and said they saw what was happening. They said, hey, we're better swimmers than you. Let us go in. They pulled off their gear. They pulled off their gear, maybe their clothes, I don't know. But they jumped out in that water and got to the window of that automobile, and they could see that man. He was just sitting in there. Just sitting there. They said, roll down your window. He just sat there. Roll down your window. He just sat there. And finally, they said, sir. And he gave him a little notice, and they said, roll down your window. Finally, he got a hold of enough that he could hear him enough that he rolled that window down. As he rolled that window down, they went to pull him out and realized his seatbelt was on. They said, unbuckle your seatbelt. The man couldn't do it. They said, unbuckle your seatbelt. The man couldn't do it. Well, this one guy just started climbing through the window, and as he started climbing through, that car tipped up on its nose and started to sink. And he pushed that button and got that seatbelt off, grabbed that man, and the man got caught. And he kept pulling and pulling. And finally he got him enough where the second man could get a hold. And they pulled and they pulled. And finally, about the time they pulled that man out, the car went under. What are you saying this morning, preacher? I'm saying if you're here, lost, roll down your window. There is somebody in the water that's ready to pull you out. Amen.
Amen.
Pull you out and pull you in to a safe haven of rest.
Amen.
He'll carry to the shoreline, brother.
Yes,
better believe that he will. Now, I want to say that love is also his devouring love. You say, what do you mean, Brother Hall? I mean, it's a love. It's a love that's like a flame that sets on fire the whole of man. Yes, sir. It's just like those fellows in Luke 24. And they talked to the Lord. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? I want to ask you something this morning. Does His love burn in your soul today? In your whole of the whole of your man, your whole soul, body, soul, and spirit? Does that love burn in there? Is there a fire? It's like old Jeremiah said, I said I'd never speak about that man again. And he said, I found that his word was like a fire burning in my bones. And it could not stay. Miss Patty, I've said that a number of times to my wife. Honey, I'm done. I want to quit. What's the use? But I'm telling you, it wasn't long until there was a fire burning in my bones, friend. And I could not stay. I had to say something for Jesus' sake. For the cause of Christ. Yes, sir. That love will consume you. That fire, like a raging fire. Consume a house. His love will consume you. Let's stand together.